communion of every liturgical assembly. So the liturgical assembly has the locus of its communion in the minister himself. If it's Mass, it's the priest celebrating. If it's baptism, it's the priest or deacon celebrating, etc. Okay. And at the same time, sorry, this is some funny verbiage here. It's easy to get lost. In other words, the minister is the visible sign that the sacrament is not subject to an arbitrary action of individuals or of the community, and that it pertains to the universal church. So the minister is doing this in the name of the church. Obviously, he's doing it in the name of Christ, but he's a servant of Christ. He's doing it officially for the universal church, not acting on his own. This isn't a private prayer. This isn't mental prayer, you know, where you can talk to God however you want in your own words. That's fine. In certain contexts, of course, that's perfectly fine. But as Romano Guardini points out in the footnote that they cited him, there's a whole different ethos when you come to liturgical prayer. Now, it's not your heart speaking, but you're entering into the heart of the church. You're entering into the mind of the church. And most specifically, the priest is putting on Christ in the most literal sense of anybody can in acting as a minister of a sacrament. Christ is the priest in any valid sacrament. Christ is acting as priest, and the ministerial priest is there purely in a servile capacity, which is a different way of saying a ministerial capacity. He's serving. Therefore, he's not on the dais. He's not a performer. He's not an improviser. This isn't jazz where you get to improvise your own melody. This is something that's very fixed, canonized, codified, and you're entering into something higher than yourself, which is to say Christ the High Priest who is acting through you. If you're a priest, obviously. In other words, the minister is the visible sign that the sacrament is not subject to an arbitrary action of individuals of the community, and that it pertains to the universal church. In this light must be considered the Tridentine injunction, the Tridentine over pertaining to the Council of Trent, the Tridentine injunction concerning the necessity of the minister to at least have the intention to do what the church does. Now, as a grammar teacher, I am upset that they allowed a split infinitive in this translation, but they did. So what are we saying here? They're citing the Council of Trent and saying that the priest has to have at least the minimal intention of doing what the church herself does. He has to have an intention. Actually, they didn't use the word minimal. He has to have the intention to do what the church does. Continuing with the text, the intention, therefore, cannot remain only at the interior level with the risk of subjective distractions, but must be expressed in the exterior action constituted by the use of the matter and form of the sacrament. Such an action cannot but manifest the communion between that which the minister accomplishes in the celebration of each individual sacrament with that with which the church enacts in communion with the action of Christ himself. It is therefore fundamental that the sacramental action may not be achieved in its own name, but in the person of Christ who acts in his church and in the name of the church. So what that's saying, and I'm not sure if it's a translation problem or if it's a turgid thing in its original Latin, but what this is saying here is that the intention is not merely an internal thing on the part of the minister. It is. He has to have a mental intention to do it. But the intention is expressed in the use of the proper form and matter. And if the priest says with a bunch of other people, "We baptize thee," that invalidates the intention. Why? Because to be a Christian sacrament, it has to acknowledge the fact that it's not we who are baptizing, it is Christ who is baptizing, and therefore the priest, or even a layperson, if he's giving it an emergency baptism, is acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. If a lay woman, a 14-year-old girl who knows how to baptize, comes upon somebody who needs an emergency baptism, and she says, she goes to baptize the person, she has to say, "I baptize thee in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And that's valid if she's using, obviously, water and pouring it at the same time and so forth. So if all of the other requisites are there, the fact that she's a laywoman is inconsequential. She is a valid minister of that sacrament because of the necessity of it. Anybody can administer it. So if she's doing this, she still has to use the proper form. Now, in the Latin rite, it's "I baptize thee in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost," not "we." You know, not "Kimberly and I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." It's "I." Why? Because it's Christ who's doing the baptizing. So if you alter that, you're altering the sacramental intentionality. That's what this document is saying. Continuing with the text, "Therefore, in the specific case of the sacrament of baptism, not only does the minister not have the authority to modify the sacramental formula to his own liking, for the reasons of a Christological and ecclesiological nature already articulated, but neither can he even declare that he is acting on behalf of the parents, the godparents, the relatives or friends, nor in the name of the assembly gathered for the celebration, because he acts insofar as he is the sign presence of the same Christ that is enacted in the ritual gesture of the church." Somewhat awkward language, I have to say, but what it's saying is because the minister of this sacrament is acting in the person of Christ, he can't say at the same time he's representing all of these other people. That's not what he's doing. When Christ baptizes someone, he's saying, "I baptize you." He's not saying, "Well, in the name of mommy and daddy and your Uncle Bart and your Aunt Tilly, I baptize you." No, he's not doing that. The name that's mentioned, there are three names, which mysteriously there are three names, but they're all in the singular, right? The name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's one God, huh? So the baptismal formula, by the way, given by Christ, is one of the proofs for the doctrine of the Trinity in the New Testament. So it's the invocation of the names of the Trinitarian persons, the name of the Trinitarian persons, not, you know, mommy and daddy and the assembled Christian community here. This isn't to dismiss mommy and daddy. To say that they're not Jesus Christ is hardly an insult. But it tells us what the sacrament's actually doing. So this is why it renders it invalid. It's a profound violence to the very nature of the sacrament itself. Now, it's a good thing that mommy and daddy are there, that the godparents are there, the grandparents, if they're there, are there, and that there are other people there to witness the child or the adult convert being regenerated in Christ. That's a good thing, but it doesn't add or detract from the sacrament. The sacrament's the sacrament, and it's Jesus Christ who administers it through the sacramental minister. It's not the Christian community doing it in their own name, which is, which if you look at that formula that they gave, in the name of this, in the name of that, in the name of that, in the name of that, and at the end it's in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. Well, have all of these people been put on an equal level with the Trinity? This is absurd. So whoever did this has no sensus catholicus, no sense of the Catholic faith. Moving on. Okay, when the minister says, "I baptize you," he does not speak as a functionary who carries out a role entrusted to him, but he acts ministerially. He enacts ministerially the sign presence of Christ, who acts in his body to give his grace and to make the concrete liturgical assembly a manifestation, quote, "of the real nature of the true church," end quote, from another text. "Insofar as liturgical services are not private functions, but are celebrations of the church, which is the sacrament of unity, namely the holy people united and ordered under their bishops." So in other words, it's an ecclesiastical function, but he's not merely a stage actor. He's doing it as the sign presence of Christ, which I think they want to avoid using the older term, which is he's acting in persona Christi. I wish they would say that, but that's what they're clearly getting at. He's the sign presence. In other words, he's the sacramental sign of the presence of Jesus Christ, who is the high priest, who is administering the sacrament truly through himself, the ministerial priest. Huh? Continuing with the text, moreover, to modify the sacramental formula implies a lack of an understanding of the very nature of the ecclesial ministry that is always at the service of God and his people, and not the exercise of a power that goes so far as to manipulate what has been entrusted to the church in an act that pertains to the tradition. Therefore, in every minister of baptism, there must not only be a deeply rooted knowledge of the obligation to act in ecclesial communion, but also the same conviction that St. Augustine attributes to the precursor, that's St. John the Baptist,